Turning your Bibles to page 1178. And if you want to come and sit at the front, boys and girls, you're welcome. But bring a parent and get them to bring their Bibles to help you to see that what we're trying to say is from the Bible. Or you can stay where you are, whatever you want to do. I'm very happy. But let's say a little prayer that God would speak his truth into our hearts. Truth that we need, all of us need today as we follow Christ. Or if we're not yet Christians, truth that we need to understand. There goes the teaspoon on the floor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we need not fear, for you are with us. And we pray that as we look at your word today, you'd encourage us to love and to follow Jesus more and more, or for the first time. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Okay. Well, this is a letter written by Paul from prison. He looked a bit more like Gandalf than Paul, didn't he? It's a glorious moment. But I wonder, if you had to finish this sentence, what would you say, boys and girls, mums and dads, grown-ups here, what would you say? The most important thing in my life is... dot, dot, dot. I wonder if it's one of these. Here we go. The most important thing in my life at the moment is my fidget spinner. Have you seen that? They've been banned from Firma School. Perhaps I've been banned from that. My fidget spinner. I love it. Do you know, we've got friends staying this weekend, and all the boys have got different fidget spinners. There's millions of them, apparently. My fidget spinner is the most important thing in my life. Or maybe, you're a bit more old school, the most important thing in my life is my lovely Buzz Lightyear toy. This is great. Look at that. Hang on a second. What do I press? No. Oh. That's pathetic. It's not very exciting, is it? There you go. Buzz Lightyear. Fantastic. Or maybe it might be this. The most important thing in my life is my phone, my contacts, how many people like me on Facebook, how many friends I've got, or might be my family, or my job, or my garden, or my pension, or my investments, or my holiday, or my health. The most important thing in my life. Think about what are you most passionate about? When you're not thinking about anything important, what does your mind think about? What do you think about? And actually imagine if that thing was just taken away, snatched away. You see, as you read through this book of Philippians, Paul has written it. There he is, as we saw this morning, he is in prison. He's attached to a guard night and day. He is not a free man. I wonder what you'd expect him to say to that question. Paul, what is the most important thing in your life? Surely he'd say, I'm an apostle, get me out of here. Set me free. Surely he'd be obsessed with getting freedom, like that lovely film, The Great Escape. Do you remember that? All those amazing people with their trousers full of mud walking around, the patrol ground dropping off the mud on the ground, desperate to get away. Surely, Paul, the most important thing in your mind is escape. You're locked up in prison. Surely you just want to get out. That's why this passage is so extraordinary. We see that even though Paul is locked up, verse 21, the most important thing to his life is this, Jesus. Jesus Christ. Verse 21, this key verse in our passage, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says his consuming passion is Jesus Christ. And maybe we can see that, can't we? Why he'd say that. My consuming passion is Jesus Christ. But then he says, to die is gain. To die is gain. Why would he ever say dying is a good thing? We all want to run away from dying. We do our best to keep ourselves healthy and well to avoid death. And when you get to a certain age like me, you get letters from the GP inviting you in for healthy man checks. So I've had my first one. It's very humbling. You get put on the scales. They take blood. They check your cholesterol. They check your heart rate. They ask you questions like, what are you eating? You want to say none of your business. What are you eating? Are you exercising? Yes, with a dog, occasionally. And you give all these statistics. And then she taps into a machine, all the data, and she gives you a handout. And she tells you your percentage chance of, in the next 10 years, dying of heart attack and stroke. Well, that had a big impact on me. I didn't eat cakes for a whole day. Now, why would you ever put this? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why would you ever want to die? Well, it's because Paul knows the Lord Jesus. If you're not a Christian, the Lord Jesus is the one who came and died and rose again to give us hope now and friendship now and hope forever beyond the grave. It's fantastic. That is why Jesus came. This wonderful, wonderful verse. We put it in the middle of our board so you can see it. Everywhere. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It might seem crazy, but when you know Paul's story, it's extraordinary. He was a guy whose life was turned around by Jesus, the risen Jesus. He hated Christians. He's like the ISIS force of the day. He went around persecuting them and locking them up, trying to get rid of them. He hated Jesus Christ. And then one day, by the Spirit of God and by the presentation of Jesus, the risen Jesus, a vision of Jesus, his life is turned around. He gets saved. He becomes a Christian. And his life is turned upside down. And now he's living for Jesus because he's experienced Jesus' forgiveness and grace and life and hope. And it's a glorious thing. Paul is thrilled with Jesus because Jesus is his Savior. And because of that, Paul is full of joy. Look at that. A bottle of joy. Oh, I would love to do that. I'm tempted, but I thought it's lemonade. If it's water, we'd be getting wet now. He's like this bottle of fizzy water, lemonade. He is full of joy. Not because he liked prison. Prison was miserable. Being locked to a guard was miserable. Don't underestimate how tough it was for Paul. It was really, really hard. Why is Paul full of joy? Mark's already mentioned it. Why is he full of joy? Locked up to a prison guard. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Well, it's because he knows, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You can take away everything from us in our lives, even our freedom and our health, and yet we still have Jesus. There is Paul. Everything's been taken away, but he still has Jesus. Have you realized that to know Jesus is the most precious, precious thing in your life? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And we've seen several times already in the book of Philippians that Paul rejoices because of the partnership, verses 3 and 4, with the Christians. He rejoices that Christ is preached, verse 18. And now we see some more reasons why this guy keeps rejoicing, even though life is tough. What is the fuel? What is the fuel, the food that he has that keeps him rejoicing in Jesus Christ? Have a look with me at verse 19. If you're with your mums and dads, have a look at verse 19 together. Let me read it, and I'll ask you some questions about the verse. So have a look. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Two things he tells us there that actually are helping him, giving him the fuel and the food to keep following Christ. What's the first thing? Shout it out, don't be shy. Verse 19. Prayers. Whose prayers? The Philippians' prayers. When we pray for each other, we feel it, don't we? We feel upheld by prayer. Paul's conscious of the prayers of the Philippians. It's fantastic. What's the second thing he says that is the fuel that feeds his joy? God's provision of what? Of the Spirit. Do you know what? When you become a Christian, Jesus comes to live in your heart by His Spirit. What a great thing. Do you know, I've had some pretty amazing picnics. You know, you get a picnic from Sainsbury's, it's quite a nice provision, isn't it? Marks and Sparks, a bit nicer. Waitrose, nicer. Lidl, amazing. Harrods, I've never had a Harrods one. I'm sure it's glorious. But actually, the greatest provision is this. The Spirit of Christ Jesus in our hearts. God in us. We'll celebrate that next weekend at Pentecost. The Spirit of Christ Jesus. This is the fuel, the prayers of God's people, the presence of the Spirit of Jesus in our hearts and lives. And what does that produce? It produces hope. It's that phrase, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now, that might mean Paul thinks he's going to be set free. He might or might not. But actually, he's speaking about his future deliverance, his salvation, his rescue. He is a guy who's sustained in prison, full of joy, because of the hope of deliverance made sure through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ died, Christ rose again, you trust in Jesus Christ, you are saved forever, you have hope. And we need to pray that we will feel that in tough times for each other. But the Spirit of Christ and prayer will give us hope. Hope in the future. Hope. Do you know, when I was little, boys and girls, I used to go for walks with my dad. And my dad loved long walks, and we hated long walks. And we'd go, how much further, how much further? Oh, this is awful. And then my mum would join in, and dad felt really got at then. But he'd say to us, look, see that tree over there? That's the finishing line. Keep walking. Keep going. Keep persevering. And that hope of finishing the walk, that it wasn't far to go, was the fuel that kept our little legs walking. It's true for us, isn't it? We have the hope of deliverance, of salvation, of heaven. And that is fuel that we fan into flame through praying for each other and through knowing the presence of the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. The reason for hope, hope to be with Jesus. You see, hope gives joy. Here's my little walk. Hope gives joy. But you know what? This little verse, verse 21, is a bit like a sandwich. It's a bit like a sandwich. So above it, in the passage, verse 20, we see that what else gives Paul joy is this, that Christ is praised, praise to Jesus. Have a look at verse 20. You see, this gives him joy. Verse 20, have a look at it. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul wants Jesus to be exalted in his body, whether by life or by death. Exalt means to praise, to lift on high. Maybe, boys and girls, in your school, you have one of these. I know Winnie's got one in her classroom. It's like a little chart like this. Can you see that? I'll hold it up. And at the bottom is like an angry cloud. And if you're naughty, your name goes on that. Anyone been on that? Then you've got like a not-so-angry cloud. It's kind of like perkier. Then you've got the sunshine. If your name goes on that, that's so cool. But actually, if you get on the star, your name is as high as it can go. It is lifted right up there. And the other day, I went in, and Winnie's name was on the star. And I said, Winnie, you're amazing. Well done. And she grew 6 foot. It was fantastic. Her name had been exalted and lifted up to the highest place you could get in the whole classroom world. And she was encouraged and blessed by that. And Paul's fear is this, that he will be ashamed or scared or afraid of speaking for Jesus. And if he does that, he knows that Jesus will not be exalted and praised. And his longing is this, that he wants the name of Jesus to be at the highest place in his life. And he prays for courage, that God will help him not to be ashamed of Jesus. Verse 20, he prays for courage. Verse 20, that actually Christ will be exalted. Christ will be praised. Do you know what? Shame means you keep your mouth shut. Embarrassment means you keep your mouth shut. Peer pressure means you do what everybody else does because you don't want to stand out. And we need to pray, don't we, that we will be have the courage by the Spirit of Christ to exalt the name of Jesus. And that was Paul's joy. That was Paul's joy. And he says, whether by life or death, that is my joy. Do you know what we've seen again this week? That life is so fragile. Life is so fragile. It's been a tragic week. And I wonder, what would be said at your funeral? We're not sure when that's going to happen. Could happen this week. I might not be here tomorrow. What will be said at your funeral? Will your friends and family know that actually Jesus is precious to you? that you've lived for him, that you want his name to be lifted up even when you die. I told you a few weeks ago about my extraordinary granny in Carmarthen, the chicken killer, missionary knitter and passionate lover of Jesus. She said that when she died, we were not allowed to speak about her at the funeral. It would have been a bit tricky. Don't mention the person in the box. She said, don't speak about me. I want you to speak about Jesus. It's all about him. Well, of course, we did both, because she couldn't say anything about it after that. We did both. And actually, we honoured her as she'd honour God's people. But actually, we praised her saviour. What will they say at yours? Grown-ups here, he was a great golfer, nothing wrong with golf. He was a great gardener, nothing wrong with gardening. Great dog walker, nothing wrong with that. But will they mention that they are a great follower of Jesus, so Jesus' name is exalted in your death? Now, Paul is full of joy because he knows that in his life and his death, Jesus will be exalted, will be praised, will be glorified. What about us? The thought of Jesus being praised means that he rejoices. And it's the same again after verse 21. This is a glory sandwich. This is a praise sandwich. You see, right at the end of this passage, verse 26, he wants the Philippians to boast in Christ Jesus. So he will be praised. You see, what we get here in these next few verses after verse 21 is this massive struggle that Paul faces. Here we go. Here's a rope. Imagine an almighty tug of war. Okay? There is Paul, and he's struggling. And he's struggling to say, shall I go and be with Jesus, or shall I stay and continue as an apostle? Of course, you knew the Lord was going to take him whenever he took him. But that struggle to be with Jesus or to stay, shall I go? Shall I stay? Shall I stay or shall I go? What is the best thing, to be with Jesus in heaven or to be on earth serving God's people? That's the tension he shares in these verses. Have a look at that. Verse 23, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is by better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. He wants to stay to help the church to grow in Christ. And as they grow in Christ, what will happen, verse 26? So that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. He wants Jesus to be praised through his life as he sticks around and he helps the church to keep following Jesus. That's what he wants. He knows that the Lord Jesus is the most precious person in the whole world, the Son of God, the Savior who died for us. And if you don't know him yet, he is so wonderful, come to him. He will welcome you. You might say, well, I've just done too much bad stuff. But actually, look at Paul. And Paul's life was changed. He received mercy. Paul's desire is this, that he stays in the body so he can encourage the church, so the church might boast in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul rejoices in chains. Oh, there's Mark doing the tug of war. There you go. That goes with the rope. Let's move on. Marvellous. He rejoices in hope of deliverance, sustained by the Spirit of Christ and the prayers of God's people. And he lives for the praise of Jesus. He wants courage so that in his body Christ might be exalted and praised, and that he might stick around so the church boast in Jesus. That's quite a sandwich, isn't it? Around for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. Praise to Jesus, praise to Jesus. That's why he's suffering and happy to stick around, for the glory and praise of Jesus. Do you know what the massive danger of this passage is? This, that we think, wow, Paul, you are amazing. There you are, in chains, so concerned for others, so concerned for Jesus Christ. Paul, you are amazing. But Paul would say, look, you're missing the point. It's not about me. It's because Jesus is amazing. It is because he is wonderful. Because he is a glorious Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who loves us so much, he gives himself for us and gives us hope and forgiveness and grace for the future. That's why he says, no, the focus is not on me. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And to die is to gain Christ, to be with Christ. So let me ask that question. What would you say the most important thing in my life is dot, dot, dot? Guaranteed, we will lose everything we have in this life. But if we're Christians, we'll always have Jesus. We might end up with dementia and not remember we're Christians. But actually, we are safe in Jesus' hands. He will not let go of us. So while we can, and while we're here on earth, let us live for Christ. Let us make this verse a verse we feed on by faith day by day this week. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Teach it to your kids this week. Do it with them every day at breakfast this week. On this lovely holiday week, every day. Kids, let's learn this verse and let's understand this verse. And let us live for Christ is the most important. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us pray for each other to live like that. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this stirring verse from the Apostle Paul. Thank you, Father, so much for his love for Jesus, for the way Jesus turned his life around. And thank you that you want to do that for all of us. Help us, Lord, to have these gospel glasses on, to see life as it really is, that to know Christ, to live for Christ, to sacrifice for Christ, to speak up for Christ, to be mocked for Christ, actually is not loss, but huge gain. Strengthen us by your Spirit. Help us to pray for each other. In Jesus' name, amen.